All right, I'm ready, Brother Ed.
Hold on, I gotta find you. You want me to tell the people that come on here that this is where they'll have to find you at?
I don't care. What have you got to do there, brother? I know the world can.
I couldn't
live without Eddie Wade. I was asking Lord on the way up here if there was anything that I could do that could be a blessing to him. I certainly wanted to be on board to do it. I feel very honored to be here and thankful to be here. And this is a blessing to me. I hope it's a blessing to everybody else. I don't want to run nobody off. I'm trying to gather the sheep together. Amen.
My ugly mug this morning, but if you want to watch our service this morning, you're going to have to go on my own personal page. Facebook is acting up again, and we got to deal with them for a little while. So we appreciate it if you go over to my personal page to see this. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, we've been bad again.
No, we haven't.
But we have no other desire other than to teach and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We want to be a blessing, not a burden. We want to honor Him in everything that we set our hand to do. And that's why we're here today. I'd like to welcome everyone to Landmark Baptist Church by way of internet, by way of live stream on this February the 20th, Lord's Day Sunday morning. Good day to be saved. I'm sitting here watching the world go to hell in a handbasket. I've never seen so much corruption, so much perversion. Man, just terrible, terrible, terrible. That ought not be going on in a country blessed like America is. But we'll be preaching along those lines today, and we'll be teaching today. Romans chapter 8, I think we stopped at verse number 34 in our last lesson. And we are going to slow down just a little bit in the teaching here. We'll ask the Lord to bless it. Father, we thank You for the privilege to have the Word of God before us, Lord. Yeah. We're thankful, Father, that, Lord, You preserved it from this generation forever. And, Lord, it's still precious like it was, Lord, in the Samuel's day. There wasn't no open vision. But, Lord, we've got the vision and the Word of God. And we've got the Holy Spirit to help us. We pray You bless our efforts today. Bless those, Lord, that are listening today, those that are watching today. Bless those that are here today. And Lord, help us in some way to be a blessing to You. Our desire and our efforts are to give You honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, Lynn.
We stopped at verse 34. And I want to reread that verse. Who is he that condemneth? And you know, there's a lot of people that would probably rise up, condemn me, condemn you. But they're nobodies. And the one that could condemn us is the one that justifies us. And I'm glad for that. I mean, here in Romans chapter 3, it talks about God being the justifier. He justified me in His sight, and I'm accepted because of Jesus Christ, of the merits of Jesus Christ. I'm accepted in the Beloved. But who is he that condemns? A lot of people would rise up and they'd say they're right and they'd say I'm wrong.
Right.
But the Bible says, let God be true and every man be a liar.
Amen.
But this condemnation, it's never going to go away. But praise God for the justification.
Yeah.
That's never going to go away too. And he says, it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I got somebody praying for me. I want to read a couple verses here. Hebrews chapter 4.
Blessing God.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16 says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I'm in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Not only are we not condemned, not only are we justified, but we have access to the throne of grace through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
And Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24, 25, again, speaking about Jesus Christ. But this man, because he continueth ever, our high priest is not going to die, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And thank God for the prayers of Jesus. Amen. I pray for a lot of people, and at the same time, even with an effort or exhortation or prayer, sometimes I leave someone out. But he don't leave no one out. He liveth ever to make intercession for us. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Well, I'm in good hands, I can tell you that right now.
That's right. Amen.
Shall tribulation, you know, a lot of trouble will come in our life. Mm-hmm. When I think about tribulation, I think about Apostle Paul here. Yeah. And he gave Timothy some advice. And he mentioned here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. He said, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge, verse 17 of 2 Timothy 4, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Mm-hmm. We'll have troubles. We'll have tribulation.
Right.
And we'll have distress. He said, shall tribulation or distress or persecution, and we're getting ready to get persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I just want you to know, I'll give you an update right now. It's on the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a federal offense to speak against certain sins. And I'm not trying to be anonymous here, but this country, not only due to prophecy being fulfilled, but it's headed towards perversion, lifestyle that ought not be promoted, is being promoted. And I mean, I'm light. I ain't got no fellowship of darkness. And I got a mandate from God to preach against sin.
Yes.
And when I call it sin, they call that a hate speech. And, you know, I can't help it. It's not my word. It's God's word. I'm just a messenger boy. But a persecution is coming. And or famine or nakedness or pearl or sword. I'm just telling you, the world's getting to be like a powder keg. And I thank God for the, not only the salvation of God, but thank God for the protection of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Donnie likes the book of Peter. I like them all, but I'm like him. There's some of them I like more than others.
Yeah.
But in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says in verse 4 that we have an inheritance incorruptible. Now, some people have, Queen Elizabeth, she took one of her grandsons out of her will, and the Jewish people, they'll disown their own children if they become Christians. But we have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. Brother Bob Malkin, that Orthodox Jew friend of mine that corresponds with me a lot up in Columbus, Ohio, he got saved.
Yeah.
And his father disowned him.
That's right.
And they actually had a funeral and said, you're no longer our son, you're dead. They don't even recognize him as their son, but the grace of God has got Brother Bob through all of that, and he's corresponding with his dad. He hadn't give up on him.
Amen.
Still trying to win him to the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Still trying to win his mother. And, you know, we can't do anything about the circumstances, but we still can present Jesus Christ to them.
Yes.
And He does. And in verse 5 is the main reason I read verse 4, who are kept by the power of God. We've got not only God helping us and keeping us, but through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And this battle, this troubles, this distress, this tribulation, this persecution, these famines, these nakedness, and passing laws, making it, hard to show you faith, hard to have the name of Jesus. America's been blessed for years, but I got a feeling it's fixing to understand somewhat of the wrath of God. Look at Jude, verse number 24. Now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling. And I do fall a lot. I've noticed I'm falling a lot here lately. I don't know if it's frail or mental or what. And to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. And not only are we kept by the power of God, but He's able to keep us. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
And hallelujah. I can't keep myself. Man, I mess everything I touch up.
That's right.
But we're kept by the power of God through faith and the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Looks like we're getting closer to the last time. I want to read one more verse about being kept. And that's in John chapter 10, the Good Shepherd there. And he mentions some things that he said, he's the Good Shepherd. He said, "And I give unto them," and I am one of them, "eternal life, and they shall never perish." Verse 14, he said, "I'm the Good Shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." He said, "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." I'm in good hands.
That's right.
He said, "My Father, which gave them me," verse 29 of John chapter 10, "is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." And he went on to say, "I and my Father are one." A lot of people have trouble with that. But Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. The only part of God you'll ever see is a manifested Jesus Christ. God's a spirit.
Yes.
And those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. But He said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" I'm glad Christ loved me, gave Himself for me. Well, that's another verse just come to my mind. And I like it on that fashion. I don't have no problem with that at all. But the Bible says,
"And more in joy."
He, in this was the love of God manifested. Wait a minute. "In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." Verse 10 of 1 John chapter 4. "Herein is love." Now you want to know what love is? This is it. "Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins," the payment. And verse 11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also love one another."
That's right.
And my mother one time, my mom, my dad, they got in a fight. And we had a lot of turbulence in our home. But dad, he kind of overdid it. Mom went to the bedroom crying. And I was real young, but I went in there in an effort to try to comfort my mother. And Bonnie, I went in there and I said, "Mama, I love you." And Mama, of course, she was bitter from what Dad had said to her. She said, "You don't know what love is." And really, even though she said that, that was a true statement, because I didn't know what love was till I found Calvary and found out about the love of God.
Amen.
That was so abundantly bestowed upon me, I had to go look in the mirror, because that love of God abode in my heart, and I started loving people because of the love of God. And
right.
I didn't love nobody but myself before I got saved. But I started loving everybody. I mean, be honest with you, I wish everybody just get good and saved.
Yeah.
It'd be a better place down here.
Yeah,
but it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I'm glad, praise God, I'm in.
Right.
And these things here are nothing. Tribulation won't separate us. Distress won't separate us. Persecution won't separate us. Famine won't separate us. Nakedness or peril or sword won't separate us. Now listen to this next verse. As it's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are slaughtered as sheep for the slaughter. Death ain't no big deal if you're saved.
That's right.
Now if you're not saved, then death is a big deal, because death, it's looking for people. I'm telling you, David said there's but a step between me and death.
Yes.
Death is no life and matter. But praise God, salvation, boy, that makes a big difference when it comes to death.
Mm-hmm.
In Hebrews chapter 2, it talks about Jesus in verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, it's talking about Jesus, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And like I said, I can remember, morning, Sir Randy. I can remember as a little boy, and I remember being afraid to close my eyes because I was afraid I would die and open up my eyes in hell, and I was about 10 years old at that time. But I'm not afraid to close my eyes now. I'm not afraid of anything now.
No, that's right.
I have to admit, boy, perfect love casts without fear. But death ain't no big deal when you're saved. Now, if you're not saved, oh my.
Yeah, come on.
If you're not saved, I'll tell you right now, death is on your trail.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, if death catches up with you before you get saved, you don't get a second chance. We used to play a game called hide and seek. And in that game, the goal was to get to the tree without getting caught, and it was called home base, and you'd hold on that tree and you was good.
Yeah, that's right.
But if you didn't make it to the tree and they caught you, well, then you was out of the game. And that's kind of the way death is. You're out.
Yeah, that's right.
There's no second chance. Now that was a game we played hide and seek, and in that game we couldn't count to 100, so we'd count to like 10, and we'd say, ready or not, here I come. And that's kind of the way death is. Ready or not, it's coming.
Right.
A lot of people, they don't live. I mean, today's my birthday. I'm 68 years old. I'm as amazed as everybody else is. But everybody don't get to live to be 68 years old.
Right.
I don't know what in the world I'm still doing here. I didn't think I'd live to be 40. But anyway, he's the one numbers our days. I was telling Donnie yesterday, I think it was yesterday, about God giving King Hezekiah 15 more years of life.
Right.
If you'll just stop and think about this, that was in the bank.
Yeah.
I mean, he was for sure going to live 15 years.
Yeah.
And I've got better than that. I've got eternal life.
Hey,
now,
man.
Y'all might think one day you'll eat wage die, but all I did is graduate this nightmare down here. And I've gone to my better home, my better place. Right now, my home's at 2037 Brandon School Road, but I got another home that I'm looking forward to occupying.
Yes.
He goes on to say, nay, and all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. You see, Jesus made a difference. My circumstances was, I was already dead in trespasses and sins. I was without hope, without God in the world. See if I can find that in Ephesians there. Just going through the motions of life is all I was doing.
Blessing God.
Yeah.
She said, I'm not
going to
spoon yet.
I'm right here headed. But we didn't have any promise of tomorrow.
No.
We was in the world, and in my case, I was of the world. I smelled like the world. I looked like the world. And I fit right in, because that's what I was. I was worldly. Well, I'm telling you, there's too much territory in there for my little pea brain. But in Ephesians, it talks about being in the world without God, without hope. Alienated, there it is right there. Alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. And God gave us hope. We've got a hope now, make us not ashamed. A hope that's anchored our soul, both sure and steadfast. I found one part of it. I ain't found it all. Here we go. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's the way I was for 34 years.
That's right.
But I've had 34 years of blessed hope now. Man, I'm a hope donor. I've been corresponding with men that are in jail right now and encouraging them and telling them, you know, that God hadn't forgotten them and that He loves them.
Yeah.
And through the Lord, we're more than conquerors. A conqueror is great. But when you're more than a conqueror, that's about as good as it gets. I mean, I'm telling you, buddy, no weapon formed against me can prosper. And I'm kind of like Superman. I don't have an S underneath my shirt, but if I did, it'd say saved. It wouldn't say Superman.
Right.
It'd say saved, man. But we got superhuman strength in Jesus. And I guess it's 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Yeah, it says the weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal, but they're mighty through God. I mean, we got power to cast out devils.
Right.
Hey, we got power, I'm telling you, buddy, to do a lot of things. Pulling down of strongholds. I've been praying against, and I hate to say this, but I've been praying against our government that God would expose the corruption that's going on and all of the lies that's being told and fabricated. We had one guy called it fake news, and he wasn't far off neither. He's right on the money. But anyway, a lot of stuff going on. But we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Don't quit praying.
No.
Don't give up.
Nope.
Keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh, and I think it's nearer than it's ever been right now.
It is.
Verse 38. Paul said, "For I am persuaded." Boy, I thought about those words right there. You know, King Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me."
Almost.
Yeah. And I think it's Acts 26, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, Acts 26, verse 28. Then Agrippa, which is King Agrippa, said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian."
Yes.
Well, Paul here, he says in verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come." Now, Paul, he had some help with that persuasion. I mean, Paul's kind of an exception because he got caught up in the third heaven. Now, men been trying to get in heaven, and they go up there to kind of, you know, be like old Paul. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul here says, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago." He didn't forget it. I mean, we're talking 14 years ago, and he's recounting the experience. He said, "Whether in body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell." He said, "God knoweth such a one caught up to the third heaven."
Right.
Now, in the footnotes over here of this Scofield Bible, it said the first heaven is of the clouds, and the second heaven of the stars, and the third heaven is God's abode.
Yeah.
So he got up there where God was. And he said, "I knew such a man." He said, "Whether in body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth it." And I've never been to heaven. But Paul got caught up into heaven, and he's reflecting on that experience.
Yeah.
He said how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it's not lawful for a man to utter. He said, of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. And, you know, he was not just persuaded. He had a reason that he was persuaded. He saw things that nobody saw. He heard things that nobody had heard.
Yeah.
And he said, I am persuaded. Now, we can take his advice right here, basically because he was God's chosen vessel. The Lord talked about he's a chosen vessel unto me there in Acts chapter number 9. God chose him. It wasn't necessarily that Saul chose chose the Lord, but he told Ananias, he said, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him. And boy, I tell you what, if God gets ready to show you something, you're going to get it, amen. He said, I'll show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And down there in verse number 20, he said, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. A lot of people would like to dismiss Paul.
That's right.
They'd like to say his writings are not valid. Well, the Lord, which they say they serve, the Lord said that he was a chosen vessel.
Right, right.
And that makes a big difference right there.
Yes, it does.
Beautiful hair. Laura is going to tell you, you got beautiful hair.
Oh,
donate some of that. Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death, that's no big deal if you're saved. Matter of fact, you couldn't die if you wanted to. Eternal life, I mean, I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise to the day of redemption. Eternal life is eternal life. I mean, we've got a lot of doctors down here that would like to give you life. And some of them, like that woman that had that issue of blood, she spent everything she had, grew nothing better, rather worse. So you kind of, you might get charged an arm and leg and you might not benefit from it at all. They know how to charge for sure. He said, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. You know, the devil would like to take away my eternal life.
Yeah.
And he does have some power. The devil is mighty.
Right.
But the Lord's almighty.
That's right.
And I'll take almighty any day of the week over the might of the devil.
Right.
No powers, no things present. Now, Brother Ed, he's trying to show me how to use that tablet thing he's got over there, and that's nice. And I'm going to say it's going to get even more sophisticated than that as time goes on. Daniel said in the last days, knowledge would be increased.
Right.
I mean, I've got a little old 99-cent flip phone. The only reason I ain't got Brother Mitchell gave me a better phone. The only reason I haven't got it activated is because they're not activated over at Verizon. I mean, we finally got my daughter's phone service disconnected. And it took me and my wife more than one attempt at like 2 months to get that done. And they just don't function. I mean, they're dysfunctional. If you go over there, you'll agree with me. You can sit there and you're sitting there looking at a Chinese circus because they just can't do their job or they don't want to do their job. I don't know what it is. But we're going to continue to progress. I'm going to say it's not going to be long. You're going to have electric cars, electric trucks, electric motorcycles. Man, airplane. They don't got electric airplane, believe it or not. I don't know how safe it is. I sure hate to be up there and run out of juice, you know what I mean? But anyway, things are going to keep they're going to keep getting more sophisticated. But Paul here, as he's using for an example here, he said death, it's not going to separate us. Life's not going to separate us. Angels, not going to. Principalities, no powers, no things present, no things to come. He said, verse 39, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Somebody fell off of a cliff, about 400 feet, fell to their death. One of them fell off a building. Model, they think she might have committed suicide. But even if I fell off a 400-foot cliff or off a four-story building, nothing going to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You know, I tried to talk to a man this week, and he's a good man. I don't want to say anything that wouldn't be good about him. He's a pastor of a church, and he never could really get satisfied in any church, so he built his own church. A very humble man. And name was Andy, I believe. But he talked to me there. He bought a boat trailer off of me this week. He talked to me, and he said, "You believe in being eternally saved?" I said, "Yeah, Andy." I said, "I do." I said, "The reason I do is because that's the only way I'll make it to heaven." I said, "I've messed everything I've ever had up. God fixed it where I can't mess it up."
Right.
And I said, "He done it through that circumcision made without hands." And that circumcision separates, let me read that. Probably got people listening on there that don't necessarily agree with this. And I didn't either till I read enough Bible. And you read enough Bible, you'll learn a lot of things. But in Colossians chapter 2,
good morning, Jackie.
It talks about verse 11 that we're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. God separated my body from my soul. The soul,
yes,
the
right.
soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now, the reason I'm saying that, you look over in 1 John chapter number 3, verse 9, "Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he's born of God." That's a over my head subject right there. But God fixed this thing because I'm telling you, we just keep messing up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I say that, we got over here in John chapter 1. You remember I said he's born of God, he can't sin. Well, here in 1 John chapter 1, if we say verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. If we confess our sins,
Amen.
He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word's not in us. Now, all of that right there is important. Every morning I get up, "Lord, forgive me all the times I've sinned, times I've been disappointment, times I've done things, you know, that were contrary to your word and your will. I pray for forgiveness." Jesus said, "Pray to be forgiven."
That's right.
I want you to know I'm going to heaven by the grace of God.
Amen.
Now you can strain the gnat and swallow the camel all you want to. But we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. I'm complete in Jesus.
Yes.
I'm a conqueror over death through Jesus. And I'll tell you right now, I'm part of the church. He's coming for the church.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm a part of the church.
That's right.
Chapter 9, verse 1. Paul says to the church in Rome, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost." I like that witness of the Holy Ghost. I've heard a lot of tales about a lot of people that thought they saved. And the Holy Spirit convicted them one day. And they realized one of them was 80 years old. I mean, she's a piano player in her church.
Wow.
And I asked her what happened. She said, "The Holy Spirit convicted me of the fact that I'd just been religious all my life. I'd never been born again saved."
Wow.
And that spirit of witness, I'm glad that I've got a conscience
Born
of offense.
Yes.
This Holy Spirit witness here that Paul says, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie." If you ever told a lie, there's some kind of guilt comes on you.
That's right.
He said, "I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost." He said, "I've got the Holy Ghost agreeing with me about what I'm saying here." He says that "I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." Paul had a burden for the Hebrews. You see that in Hebrews chapter 10.
Yes,
he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He said, for, and a lot of people meet this criteria right here. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They're going, but they ain't got nothing to go on. Back in the Old Testament, I think his name was Ashel. I'm not sure. He's real fast on his feet. And Joab didn't want to send a message with him. And the other one that he sent the message with, Ashel asked, said, can I go? Two. And he said, you ain't got no message. What do you want to go for? He said, can I go? He said, well, go on. Ashel outran this other messenger. David seen, I think his name's Ashel. And he said he's a good man, but he didn't have no message. But the other one, he finally got there, you know, and he told him about, I think it was about Absalom being dead. I think I'm right on this. But anyway, you know, you can go, but you only got zeal. Ashel didn't have a message. And a lot of people like Ashel, they're going today with no message.
Right.
And Israel was like that. They were just going through the motions and were empty inside.
That's right.
And Paul here, he said, I love my brethren and my kinsmen according to the flesh. Verse 4, he said, who are Israelites? In whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. See, God gave everything to the Israelites.
Yeah.
Now,
amen.
I may stop on this next verse, I don't know. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, and God bless forever. Amen. In St. John chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible says he came to his own, and his own received him not.
Amen.
They had been given the oracles of God. They had been given the promises of God, the blessings of God, the covenants, the Word. I'm just telling you, God had entrusted his people, and we got them from them. But God was the one that gave it to them first.
Yeah.
And there's a sevenfold privilege to Israel, which is brought out in this chapter here. And they had a lot of privilege that God gave them. I mean, he trusted them. The adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of law, the services of God, and the promise. That they were faithful in almost all of it. They just couldn't receive Jesus when he showed up. Whose are the fathers, and of whom is concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. And verse 6 says, not as though the word of God have taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all the children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. You know, in John chapter 8, Jesus had a controversy there with the religious leaders of that day. And they said, we be Abraham's seed. And he said, God's able to raise up seed unto Abraham from these rocks. And they just couldn't get it.
No.
Find my place here. In verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham.
Yeah.
But he said, now you seek to kill me, a man which has told you the truth. Everybody's not open to truth. I'll tell you that right now.
That's right.
There's a lot of people have left this world because they told somebody the truth. Better off the sugarcoat today, man.
Right.
But anyway, he said, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. And hold on a minute. That ain't exactly the one I'm looking for. I'm looking for the one he said God's able to raise up a seed of Abraham.
Blessing God.
You ain't kidding. Got glass on, still can't see it.
Well,
I'm real close. Well, I found this much of it. They answered him, verse 33 of John chapter 8, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest ye shall be free?" And Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore make you free, ye shall be free indeed."
Right.
He said, "I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. And because my word hath no place in you, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you've seen with your father." Now notice, he made two distinctions there, their father and his father. And they answered, said unto him, "Abraham's our father." And Jesus said unto them, "Abraham, were your, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham." I like this verse number 42. Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, you'd love me, for I proceeded forth and came forth from God.
Yeah.
Neither came I myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You of your father the devil." And that's pretty blunt right there.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
He said, "You are of your father the devil." And I told you, made two distinctions up there. Verse 38. He said, "In the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." And they just wasn't open to truth. But Paul here, he talks about they are seed of Abraham. And he mentions about, are they all children? Wait a minute. "Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called." And that is, they which are of the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. You know what? I still got a little time there. I'm a seed of Abraham. I was always jealous of the Jews because I wasn't born a Jew, and I was always a little jealous. But I read enough Bible to find out, praise God, I got in.
Right.
In Galatians chapter 3, I believe
praise
it is.
Lord.
Yeah, I got in, amen. Galatians chapter number 3, verse 29, "And if you be Christ, and I am, I'm not my own, I've been bought with a price." He paid high dollar for someone as worthless as I am. But he said, "And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." I got in. I'll take it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
So we'll stop. I guess we'll stop right here on verse number 8. Give a chance, somebody needs to go to the bathroom or a little fellowship.
Yeah.
But we'll stop right there on verse number 8 of Romans chapter 9. And the book of Romans is a good book to direct someone to read. If someone says, "Where should I read my Bible?" Two books. We got them right here. Two books.
Yeah.
John and Romans.
Yeah.
Both of them exceptional.
That's right.
Rich Wright, they do have staples in them.
Yeah.
I didn't think they did.
Yeah, he was. I knew he
was. I would love to give them some of them right there.
Amen.
I don't know how you get around those staples.
Okay, we'll be back in about 15 minutes.
Amen.
We'll put that up there in the offering for me.